OCTalkRadio.net.
It's time for the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal guide, the Pilgrim on the 405, Mr. Will Crist.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim Talks on this kind of cloudy day here in Laguna Beach. It's kind of strange to be this cool and even had a little mist yesterday. We're going to be talking today, again, about job creation, and like we talked to Michael Sowitz last week, we're going to be talking to one of the directors of incubator program here in Orange County. And so we've got Gustavo Chamorro, who is the director of the Digital Media Center, which is an economic development program of the Rancho San Diego Community College District. Gustavo oversees the development and implementation of a very, very good business incubator program. They got about 20 companies that are working with them, a beautiful building, a wonderful facility. So I want to welcome Gus to Pilgrim Talks. Welcome, Gus.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite.
So, Gus, tell me a little bit about how you came to be at the Digital Media Center. Did you have a role in putting this together?
Well, I wish I had, because I think we definitely have a wonderful program. But I think my predecessor, it was actually the person who saw the initial foundation or building of the foundation here. This facility actually opened in 2006. I started here a couple of years after that. But initially, there were a number of partners that made this program a reality, and that was the local city, the city of Santa Ana, donated the land, which is the acre where the facility is today. We received some money from the U.S. Department of Commerce to build the incubator, but most of the money to build the facility came through a local bond measure, Measure E. That was passed in our district to build an incubator. And the idea, again, was to we identify digital media as an area that was growing in Orange County, and there needed to be a place where entrepreneurs could come and develop some of those ideas having to do not just with digital media but technology in general.
So tell me a little. You've got. Didn't you say you had like 20 companies that are associated here now?
Yes, and so we have a couple of different programs that we currently offer. One of them, it's what we would term, I guess, our full time program, and that is a program where an entrepreneur can have an office on site and also enjoy many of the services that we offer, such as pro bono consulting services. Also, we provide different networking opportunities, access to investors when the company, or when we determine that the company is ready. And also, in addition to that, we have what we call an affiliate program, and that includes everything that I have just described, but no office. The idea for the affiliate came to be is that we were getting a lot of entrepreneurs who were knocking on our doors looking to come into the incubator. But one of the requirements that we had in place was that we needed at least one of the founding members for the company to be working full time to the company, with the company. However, we were getting a lot of entrepreneurs who maybe had a full time job and wanted to start developing this idea on the side. As a result, then I sort of started asking myself the question: if I was in the shoes of an entrepreneur, then what would I do? Would I leave the security of a job dedicate my time fully to something that I haven't really massaged completely, or if there's a place where I could go and make sure that my idea is truly solving a problem before I leave my job. I mean, which would I prefer? And that's where the idea was, well, you know, we should have an affiliate program, help these entrepreneurs make sure that their idea, it's a good idea, and then from there help them transition into, well, you know, here I am right now, right, going from a full-time, you know, paid position into being a full-time entrepreneur and hoping that my dream becomes a reality.
So tell me a little bit about what have been some of the successes here that you've seen?
Well, we've had quite a few. To give you an example, I think we had a company called True Games Interactive. And this is a company that got funding from a company called UTV, based out of India, but actually owned 25% by Disney. And once they got their funding from UTV, True Games Interactive ended up hiring about 40 people. And so it was nice seeing how a company that initially came in with two individuals, two co-founders, then all of a sudden was in a position to truly, you know, hire a whole team. The company ended up moving to Irvine once they got their funding and they graduated. And by graduation, we mean once a company outgrows the services or the facility here, then they're now able to go into the community and get a larger facility, hire people. Many of those people could be students or could be people in the community that in this economy, they not have a job. And in thinking about job creation, which is the intent of the overall show, I think that we're on today, I think that was a huge success for us.
Yeah.
We also had, another company that recently, this company just met with the founder about 3 weeks ago. But this company the name of the company is Just Enjoy. And this company came into the incubator to build this business to actually have diners at restaurants order their food before they got there, but not only order their food, but make sure that before that the order would not be started until the person going to the restaurant was at a certain distance from the restaurant, meaning that by the time you got to the restaurant, your food would be hot. Anyways, the company was experiencing some growth, and things were going well. But then their customer base was large restaurant chains that could maybe white label, I think, the technology in their particular restaurants. But due to the economic slump, a lot of the budgets that these companies had assigned to work on projects that would involve this company, those budgets were reduced. Long story short, the company found an opportunity to expand overseas to Russia. Company then moved to Russia. One of the co-founders was actually from Russia. And they found an investor there. And what they did is they pivoted, and they moved from being just about restaurants and now being about movie theaters. And they started implementing the technology where people in Russia could now purchase their tickets using their technology. And then by the time they got to the theater, then their ticket would be scanned on their phones. So that was successful. Then the company expanded to Spain. And so when I met with the founder about 3 weeks ago, I found out that after they expanded, they were able to successfully sell the company, and they're now back in the United States, and they're in the process right now of starting another company. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about their story, in addition to, you know, them having a successful exit, is that the founder shared that through one of the relationships that he built because of his presence here at the Digital Media Center, he was able to land, I think, a position, which is the position that he's in right now, where he's now working with a company that has grown extensively. And this company is now or will provide him with the opportunity to do a spin-off company.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, that's wonderful. So those are two successes that have come through the Digital Media Center.
Yes.
And now, what kind of impact do you see the Digital Media Center having on the economic world in Orange County? What kinds of things have you seen over the past couple of years?
Well, I think what part of our mission, I think, is to help the local economy to rebound from the current crisis that we have, or slump that we have been in for a while. And the way that we think we can contribute to that is by starting the ball rolling, I think, on some of these, some activities, I think, that can change, I mean, where we are today. Some of the things that we have done is, one of the projects that we're working on at the moment is we would like to create more of a collaborative ecosystem here in Orange County where we can take advantage of the resources that are available. We live in a county that it's, I think, has some a tremendous amount of industry. There are, I think, there is a strong economy. And we have many organizations, I think, doing an excellent job. But unfortunately, in my opinion, we do have a lot of silos. And if we would be able to get a lot of these organizations to work together in synergy, I think the impact, the economic impact that we could have could be greater. What we're working on right now is to try to develop then that closer alignment. For example, one of the things that we did recently is we met with some leaders from Chapman University, from their Leatherby Entrepreneurship Center, and trying to to have a discussion as to how do we. How can we take advantage of what the DMC is doing and align that with what Chapman is doing, and we could both benefit each other. You know, obviously, in the case of Chapman, they're a larger university. In our case, we represent more of a two-year community college level, but there are definitely some synergies that we can develop with them. And we're trying then to find a similar approach, I think, with other organizations. For us, for example, with Chapman, there's an opportunity where we could host our larger events over at Chapman University. Also, Chapman has, they have a number of students going through their entrepreneurship center. And the idea is here with our incubator, we have entrepreneurs. And so what a better way for those students who are vying to become entrepreneurs than to experience entrepreneurship before they graduate. Mm-hmm. So there's a benefit for their students, there's a benefit for our entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. If we do more of that, I think we could get to a level where we could start creating, more economic impact in our area.
Do you see other places where you, looking for alignment?
Yes, I mean, definitely. I mean, universities is definitely one of the ways. Economic development organizations, it's another one. Organizations here locally that help, businesses definitely will be one. I think what we need to do is work hand in hand to be able to bring in more economic activity more business attraction here to our county, and also to retain current businesses. I think we have some large businesses in the area, but then they need talent as well. And I think if we can do this, I think we'll definitely make an impact.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question about economic cycles. Some people have said or seem to believe or maybe even unconsciously act as if it were true that economic cycles are like waves. They go out and they come in. Mm-hmm. Now, do you see this current economic cycle as just another example of that? A wave goes out, we have a slump, and then it comes back in, and then we ride that wave for a while. Or do you see something significantly changed, something different right now?
Well, I think definitely, I mean, I definitely see a cycle. I wish I had a crystal ball, right, and would be able to tell it. And actually, I've been saying for the last 2 or 3 years that next year is going to become better. Mm-hmm. However, having said that, I do believe that, you know, we do have, it's almost like real estate, right? We have our boom cycle where all of a sudden, you know, people have a lot of equity in their homes because of the appreciation of the of their value. And we also have our down cycles. With the economy, I think, you know, we've been in this for a while. However, we have seen more and more activity. I think now, so for example, the best example I can give you is there is no shortage of entrepreneurs looking to start a business. I mean, for example, we have the local, you know, K5 initiative that was started by some TCA members, and they had over 300 applicants, you know, for 7 or 9 spots. We're seeing it here where we have entrepreneurs. In our case, fortunately and unfortunately, I guess fortunately for us, I mean, we're full. Unfortunately, we wish we could help more entrepreneurs by providing them with our services. But, you know, we're still seeing a strong number of entrepreneurs. So the willingness is there. And I think we will probably rebound, I think, from the cycle that we're in. But in order to do that, I think we need to do more to help our current, you know, small businesses, which includes entrepreneurs, by providing them with some level of we have a lot of services, you know, including our district has a lot of services to help the entrepreneur develop the idea. But then once you get to that, then how do you sell? I mean, how do you sell that product, right? How do you be the new guy in town? Then how do you get customers? And I think that's where many of our entrepreneurs get stuck. It's like, okay, I finished a product, but no one wants to buy from me. If we can get that going, I think, and helping more and more of these entrepreneurs, we may see, I think, a change.
So one of the obstacles is after I've developed my idea, I've innovated, I've done the research and development, I've probably sold it to as many of my friends and family who are willing to buy it. Mm-hmm. Now what do I do? Because I didn't get into this business to be a salesperson. Mm-hmm. What do I do next?
And that's exactly, I think, the challenge that we face, that many of our companies face, and many of the entrepreneurs I encounter, is they do have a good product, I think, on their hands. But again, I mean, it's always a challenge, you know, getting the first customer.
And now it seems to me that some of the entrepreneurs have put their hopes on doing the research and development, getting a startup sense of funding, whether it's you know, a loan, a family grant, something like that. But it seems to me that they have a lot of hope that once they get their product ready, that they'll get funding in order to pay somebody to take the burden of sales off of them. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That is correct.
And how's that working?
Well, I think the challenge has been that that we haven't been able to find funding,
uh-huh.
you know, for that. So the hope is, I think, for every entrepreneur that you will get that lifeline, right? That you'll convince an investor about, you know, why your idea is great and is going to make, you know, that investor money. But the challenge is, at least from our experience, we haven't seen any of the funding come through. And that's when, you know, for the entrepreneur, it becomes a, you know, that Bermuda Triangle, right? So where do I go now?
Mm-hmm. So finding a way to help that entrepreneur, finding a way to help him learn how to sell to the people who need, want, will find his product or service valuable to them, helping him to get beyond the picture that, well, I'm not a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
Helping them to learn how to sell, at least to the initial group of people.
Yes, you know, especially since, I mean, you know, now I think we feel that, you know, having, generating those sales, I mean, could be your source of revenue
mm-hmm.
that I think you could use to fund, I think, your growth. Therefore, we believe that this could be a strategy, right, that can be used. And to be honest, I mean, I think even those of us who don't think we're salesmen, I mean, we're constantly selling. You know, I was just talking this morning to a few people about the release of the iPhone 5. And then, you know, our conversation revolved around that, I mean, for a while. And so we become advocates, I think, of other products once we believe in them. I think with our entrepreneurs, it's getting those people who could be preaching about, you know, your product. So a strategy to develop, I think, those followers and those people who will spread the word for you is necessary.
Mm-hmm. So finding a way to actually sell, which to me means finding what it is that those people who are prospects or potential buyers, finding out what their issues are. Finding out what kind of solutions my product or service brings to the table for them, and having a conversation not around my product or service. Now, I know that for the entrepreneur who spent his last couple of years polishing, there's a great desire to show off what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
The real issue, it seems to me, in terms of sales is how do I help tell enough stories about the solutions that my product or service brings to the table
mm-hmm.
so that the potential buyer sees him or herself in that story.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, I think, a key word, and that is, you know, showing, you know, people that, you know, or letting them decipher on their own that there is a problem, right? And that you as the, you know, you have a solution, I think, that may be able to solve the problem. You know, someone told me that, you know, an idea, it's not a good idea unless it's solving a pain in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality of it, right? If what we have seen sometimes is we have seen an idea, you know, looking for a problem
mm-hmm.
rather than an idea, you know, that it's going to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that's a key. I mean, emphasizing to a potential client that, you know, that they're facing some obstacles along the way, but that they have solutions, and maybe your solution might be, you know, the one that might help them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a place that I want to talk a little bit more about. Can you stick around a little bit after the break and we talk some more?
Sure.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481. Or go to www.extendeddisc.com.
I'm Al Strauss with Sandler Training. Talk to you about rule number 38. The problem the prospect brings you is never the real problem. When people have heard this rule and thought about it a bit, if they've been in sales for more than a few months, they almost always say, well, that's obvious. I've had lots and lots of prospects that told me what they wanted, I showed them what they wanted, and they didn't buy it. So it seems that it would be obvious. The problem is, most folks don't understand it, and you get in the middle of the conversation, and here's a prospect who's interested in something, you've got the something, and you just show up. And what you really need to learn how to do is ask a bunch more questions, because frankly, in most cases, the prospect doesn't even understand what the real problem is. And so if you ask three or four more questions about what they claim they need or are looking for or want, you're going to discover that it morphs, it changes, sometimes dramatically. What they end up needing is perhaps even diametrically opposed to what they originally said they were looking for. So ask the questions, don't take the first thing they give you, dive down into the real issues, and you're going to have yourself a much better day selling to this prospect.
So, welcome back. We have been talking with Gustavo Chamorro, the director of the Digital Media Center in Santa Ana. And we've been talking about the transition from research and development for an entrepreneur when he or she brings their product or service to the place where it's ready for the marketplace. A traditional model has been to find a funding agency and use the money to hire sales and marketing division. And what we're finding right now with frozen angels funding world, that it might be valuable if we could help that entrepreneur learn some basic fundamental blocking and tackling about sales so that they could then bring their solution to the marketplace that would solve a problem for the potential buyers. So is that right, Gustavo?
That is correct, yes. I think this is our old approach that we were using was more, hoping that once our entrepreneurs were able to convince an investor that they had a good product or service, that after the due diligence process, the money would come. Unfortunately, we have not seen that, at least in our area. And, our entrepreneurs were still chasing, that funding that was not around. Until it became obvious to us, if equity funding is not available in our area, then what other sources could we look at? We looked at other sources such as microloans. But the challenge that we encountered was that many of these, or the majority of these microloans, had SBA guidelines tied to them, meaning that someone who was applying for these loans needed to be in business for 2 years. which in our case, because we deal with startups, they're technically not selling anything yet. Then finally, we came to the realization that, well, if the company is able to get to the level where they now have a finished product, what about using your sales to finance, I think, your growth? What about, making sure that you have at least a stable number of customers that can help you bootstrap your company a little bit more? But in order to do that, then you need to develop some strategies, right? Especially when you're the little guy in the room, is how do you convince people to buy from you?
Yeah, and I think you put your finger on it that lots of folks think that it is a matter of convincing people to do something that they may or may not wanted to do. And I think what we've experienced, and when you invited me over to spend a little time with some of your entrepreneurs, what we really began to do was, rather than to find a prospective buyer and then come up with a strategy to convince them, what we began to do was to look around to identify exactly who has the problem that my technology will solve. Mm-hmm. And then to begin to monetize that, to quantify it, so that we're talking about this solution that I have will solve that problem and will save this many dollars in money, this much time, which could be converted to money, or this many resources. And once we have that, then we can begin to ask enough questions to find out if indeed this person, this company, this business owner has that problem. Mm-hmm. If it's sufficient size in terms of impact of dollars, time, or resources to make it worthwhile to talk about our solution. Mm-hmm. And of course, our solution is always going to wind for the person who's a strong, qualified buyer. Our solution is always going to cost less than the value that it brings to that buyer.
I agree, definitely. I think we're looking at that right now. I think we have a couple of our companies that we're working on projects. But one of those companies has a solution for energy efficiency, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think here in California, it's definitely energy usage, particularly during the summer months, can be critical, I think, for not only small businesses, but sometimes large businesses. This company providing this energy efficiency technology, has a product in their hands that I think could save, a significant amount of money that in many instances could make the difference whether a business moves out of your local city, right? Moves out of your local city. In our case, we have been using their technology in our building since December 2010. And we, with the information that we have received, we have been able to have significant savings when it comes to energy usage, not only electricity, but also gas, natural gas usage here.
So now what I understood was that the technology this company has, a monitoring of energy usage and just alerting people to the potential for savings, has the potential for saving a company, for instance, a company or a building or a company that is using over $1 million a year in energy resources, which is not unusual for a company in Orange County, right?
Correct.
All right, so a company that's using over $1 million a year in energy resources has the potential for at least 20% savings.
Yes.
Now, that's not insignificant for a business owner, is it?
It is not. Think about even, your business who, maybe had a $100,000, bill, let's say. 20%, that could save a job, or maybe it's something that you could reinvest into the business. And that's just the minimal amount that you could save. But, I mean, you could even save more with this technology.
And this is not pie in the sky, a green technology that invest a lot of money now and then 5-10 years from now begin to see the payback. This is something, this monitoring can help people shut doors, turn off compressors, find places where energy is being used to no benefit, and that can happen months.
And I think what's interesting is that this technology can let you know then what are the areas where I should invest, you know, in my building. So, for example, most people, when they think of energy savings, maybe they'll have a consultant or they'll talk to their local energy provider and have them, you know, provide some tips. Other people just go with the first idea, which is, oh, let's go with solar or let's change the light bulbs. Well, this technology lets you know whether those types of decisions make sense to begin with. Because maybe, you know, it may not be what you need to approach your lowest hanging fruit first. You know, it might be that you don't know that your AC unit is on the weekends mm-hmm. when the business is closed.
Right? That's not something you know about, right?
We definitely experienced that here, and we just experienced it this week because we have classes here from one of our community colleges, and we have some night classes that we have a dedicated unit. We have a TV video studio, and there is a dedicated AC unit that supplies that studio because once you turn on the lights and you have all the students in there, it gets quite hot. Well, we turned the unit on just for that class. And but then the next day there was no class, and then the unit was still on because, you know, so supposedly we have an energy management system that was supposed to turn off the unit. Well, the guys from our company came to me the next day and said, hey, you know, how come your unit it's on? I mean, it's you had it off. I said I turned it on because we had a class. They said, yeah, but it's on right now. You don't have a class, right? I said, no, we don't have a class. Long story short, we were able to get the people from the energy management company to come in, and it turns out that they had a scheduling conflict in the system that the energy management company had forgotten about. So there were two schedulings. There was an automatic scheduling where the unit was supposed to come on at 4 a.m. and turn off at 10 p.m. When the unit only, with the other schedule that we had built, it was only supposed to be on for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the moral of the story is through the information that we received through our company software, then we were able to figure out that, well, our energy management system is not as efficient as we thought.
And so this has potential impacts for businesses wanting to reduce their impact on their bottom line for energy that energy resources make. It also has, seems to me, to have some potential impact on a business owner, a building owner, mm-hmm. who wants to retain his clients. And if he can help them reduce their energy costs, then their total cost of lease plus energy costs might be reduced enough so that they don't move mm-hmm. to another building.
And this is significant when we think of our local city here. It's, obviously you want to not only attract some new businesses, but provide some incentives. And I think if you do this, the right way, I mean, and promote this, you know, how maybe through the savings are generated with this technology. I mean, like I said, for many businesses, it could make a difference between staying or leaving.
Yeah, and I know, coming from Texas, I know what that economic development machine down there does. It comes and finds companies who are looking for ways to reduce their costs, and they certainly will talk about reducing regulation, because that's the Wild West down there.
Mm-hmm.
They do that, and if we are not able to match that in the eyes of business owners, sometimes they'll leave. And we can have an impact on helping businesses to stay if there's enough value here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's important. And what you're doing in the conversation that you're having now is you're beginning to talk about how you're going to help the entrepreneur who built this technology
mm-hmm.
to position himself as a solution provider rather than a technology provider.
Correct.
Now, what kinds of things are you doing in the future to help other entrepreneurs have that similar transformation from seeing themselves, what I call the look, ma, no hands? I got this wonderful bicycle here that I finally mastered. Look, ma, I don't even have to have hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
So my technology is wonderful. What are you doing to help entrepreneurs change their mindset when they're talking with potential customers from look at all the things my technology can do to let me understand what the problems that you have are and let me see if my technology can provide some valuable solutions to you?
Well, one of the things that we did, I think it's, and this is where I think, you and your firm, have been extremely helpful, is to perhaps take the blindfold off of thinking that, funding will come, right? It may come, but then by the time it comes, it might be a little bit too late. So I think we need to, entrepreneurs need to be feeding or generating that revenue to fuel the company's growth. So for us, I think the first thing was realizing that, okay, so if funding, it's not here and it will not come in the near future, then where do I go? And I think through, for us, in our case, I think we went through a workshop, through your firm, and I think that was the initial eye-opener for us. Once we got that, I think, and now that we have been talking to our entrepreneurs, I think they get it right away because they know they have already been through the funding rounds. They have been already trying to get equity funding, and they haven't been successful. So therefore, when we come in with this new method and say, well, how about sales funding your growth? You get to keep 100% of your company. You get to not only get your company out there, but then you get to have people believe into what you have and why your service provides a solution. But then again, the key is, as you were stating, is letting businesses or potential customers know that there is a problem that they're facing and that you may have a solution that can make things better for them.
Now, as we think about the entrepreneur who brings his product to market, he's generally, from what I'm observing, not only, we talked to Michael Sawitz last week at Fast Track Studio, I've spoken with people here at Digital Media Center, we've interviewed Ray Chan, and I visited with his people over at K5 Launch, so all these, and also Virginia Lormore at WinOps. These companies are small companies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of people on the payroll.
Correct.
Because they've been bootstrapping.
Mm-hmm.
In order for them to move forward to fulfill the kind of possibilities that they have, the potential that they have, when we begin to look at the job creation potential over the next 12 months, that began to be very clear that there's substantial job growth,
mm-hmm.
hundreds of people that could be put to work, right?
Right.
When we have the kind of sales that can provide the funding for that. And so when we look at what it takes to create new jobs, that means the owner of the business, in this case the entrepreneur, has to see revenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just funding. The funding will not necessarily bring new jobs.
Right.
It's revenue and an ongoing system of generating that revenue, which will cause that business owner to believe it's time to add people or need to add people to fulfill on the promise of the sale.
And that you're exactly right. I mean, it's that driving, you know, factor, I think, that as, you know, you start, you know, generating, you know, more and more revenue, that you realize, you know, where the need is. For example, we have one of our companies that, you know, they are getting some sales now, but they're now realizing, oh, wait a minute, we need, you know, more than just one person doing this. Mm-hmm. But then getting that other, you know, those other people to the team, then you need to make sure that they are, you know, that they're truly going to sell, I mean, your service, you know, to continue that growth.
Right. So we want to make sure that when somebody begins even to think about hiring somebody to sell for them, that this person is going to be effective selling. So that was one of the things we talked about with one of the companies here, right? Now that you have some money to hire the right salesperson, let's, you know, one of the obstacles was, well, I hired three of them and none of them worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So let's use some technical expertise, some experience in the marketplace about hiring salespeople. And let's make sure you have the right person. And then let's make sure they're going to be managed in a way that's going to increase the probability of getting the most sales for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me seems, I mean, I am really impressed, Gustavo, that you are willing to begin to see some of the resources that you bring to your companies now as they mature. We've helped them with funding, we've helped them with infrastructure, we've helped them with some management. Let's now help them learn how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me a little bit about what you're going to be doing in the next couple of months about providing these resources for your people and for other entrepreneurs in Orange County.
Well, one of the things that we're doing, and we started this project already, is to, for our energy efficiency company, for example, we are outreaching to economic development agencies in our county to work with them to, first of all, identify those businesses that have a need because of their high energy usage. And then once we identify those companies, then invite them to more of a roundtable type of meeting where we can learn a little bit more about their challenges that they have when it comes to energy usage. And then position, I think, you know, our company in a way where, you know, they're the ones who have a solution, I think, for that. For one of our other companies, then, you know, we're doing something similar, but they're in a different field. They're more in the educational segment. And for them, I think what we're trying to do is to position them with, you know, invite people who represent, you know, community colleges and universities. And again, have a forum where we could discuss then, you know, what are their needs when it comes to, in this particular case, the how those organizations are fulfilling the requirements that they have for accreditation, and perhaps how, you know, our company could help them. And finally, what we're doing is, you know, we're considering, you know, workshops, I think, here at the Digital Media Center for entrepreneurs to learn how to sell. I think the same way that we're helping our companies, I think, grow and hopefully create jobs in Orange County, this is something that other entrepreneurs can learn and do themselves. Now, and I think has been excellent, I think, for us is we would not have known this had it not been because of the, you know, the sponsorship of the Sandler training. Because through the help that we received, like I stated, we took the blindfold, I think, that we had, because all along we were thinking about our approach for growth would be just to get some equity funding. But when in reality, I mean, I think through sales we could achieve that. But I think through the sponsorship that we have received, I think our companies have gotten the level of help, I think, that they need, not only to, you know, to realize where the opportunity is, but also what's the right approach that they can use to, you know, fulfill that.
Good. Well, so if an entrepreneur wanted to come and come to the workshop for selling for entrepreneurs, should they call you? What should they do?
Yes, they could either call me directly. My direct line, it's 714-241-5810. Again, that number is 714-241-5810. And I can talk to them directly. I truly believe this is something that is going to have a great impact, I think, for that entrepreneur. And we're going to be gearing up or putting this together fairly soon. So I would urge those who are interested to give us a call.
Super. Well, thank you, Gustavo. This has been wonderful. You know, taking responsibility, not just you, but people like Michael and Ray and Virginia Lorimore at WinOps. I mean, people who are dedicated to helping entrepreneurs and also small businesses create the opportunity for new jobs, not just replacing present people in positions, but actually creating new jobs because of the increased demand, the increased sales, increased revenue. The kind of things, those kind of things are going to contribute very heavily to our schools, to our roads, our everything else, our hospitals, everything else in our culture that's important to us. It really comes out of that economy that comes from small business, the small businesses who provide those jobs. So thank you so much for all the work that you are doing along with other supporters of entrepreneurs here in Orange County. We really appreciate you having you on the show today.
Thank you, Will.
So there you have it, wonderful experience with just one more of those supporters of entrepreneurs here in Orange County, doing a wonderful job at the Digital Media Center, using the resources of community colleges to really bring forth a wonderful incubator that's supporting 20 new companies right now, and it'll be supporting a lot more in the coming months. And also, I want to just remind you that they are going to be sponsoring, providing a workshop at the DMC for selling for entrepreneurs to help entrepreneurs begin to see what's the difference between talking about my technology and talking about the solutions that technology brings to problems that prospective buyers have. So this is the Pilgrim on the 405 telling you what's a great time to be alive in Orange County. It's a great time to be in business, and it's a wonderful time to be an entrepreneur. Look forward to talking with you again next Wednesday with the Pilgrim on the 405.
You've been listening to the only show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal guide, the Pilgrim, on the 405.